Good morning, SEC. Oh, a lot of y'all expected not to see me this morning, so bright and early. Welcome in, cousins. What we got? Football, baby. We got football to talk about today. That's what I'm saying. Unfortunately, let's be honest. I mean, short of Mizzou fans, short of Auburn fans right now, the rest of us have got to wait till Saturday, making this potentially the longest day of the year. I would put it right there with that one where we changed the time, right? I feel like that's where we're at. But if I can help you get through 30 minutes of it, I'm all for it. So as the cousins pile in, we're going to jump into this show. We've got a lot of stuff to go over. We're going to go over the game. We're going to talk about some injuries that happened in that game. We're going to take some phone calls from cousins. And then more importantly, the storylines. I mean, we're making this, we're dubbing this as potentially the greatest season opener ever in this conference. Doesn't it help to know that you know a wizard, that you know a guy with a crystal ball that knows exactly what's going to happen? That's right. I've already done my scores. You know where that is. But I'm going to tell you the storylines going into week two. So before we do that, let's jump in to SEC Hangover. Oh, come on now. Remind the cousins, we are brought to you by MyBookie, promo code SEC right now. I mean, you know what makes play? I mean, I love watching football, right? I absolutely love it. But there's a little something extra when you got some money on it. We got a game tonight. You may not be an Auburn fan. You may hate Hugh Freeze. But you put a little money on it, by God, you're going to stick around. And if you do promo code SEC right now, they are going to give you a risk-free bet. What is that, Shane? What does that mean? That means if you put $100 on Auburn covering and it happens, you win the $100. If it doesn't happen, you get your $100 back. That's what I'm talking about. Thanks for all the cousins signing up for promo SEC there at MyBookie. You're asking, Shane, where the hell are you at, man? I'm telling you, I'm right over here at Tennessee Legend Distillery. That's where I'm at. Made a mistake last night. I was supposed to give away 2 gift cards. So you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to give away one of them on this show, a $100 gift card to our friends and family over at Tennessee Legend Distillery. If you ever make it to one of these Sevierville or Nashville locations, be sure to let them know that the cousin sent you. You will get an additional discount and a gift. And you're saying, hey, man, I am way too far from Tennessee. Or I'm not legally allowed to visit that state anymore. If that's the case, go down to your local package store, tell them you want some Tennessee Legend. They'll have that sent in. Be sure to take a picture of it and send it to me, and you may have something coming your way. All right, let's jump into this. In fact, let's go ahead and give away our first Tennessee Legend Distillery gift card. If you're watching this right now, the first one, in the comment section, I see y'all piled in here. The first cousin to say something positive about the Tennessee Volunteers, you're going to get a $100 gift card. I'm waiting for it. Got a little delay. Takes a little time to type. While you're doing that, I'm going to pull up the YouTube because we got some cousins that are in the giving mood. Nope. Oh, okay, there we go. We got a winner. Tennessee sucks. Get out of here, Hyde. Let's see. So the winner is Voltage. You missed that one. Joey, I'm giving it to Spartan. Spartan 035. Joey throws for 200. Spartan, be sure to email us at thatsecpodcast@gmail.com and we'll get a $100 gift card sent your way. And if you're saying, hey, I'm not a quick typer, that's not fair. I wasn't ready. I was driving. Well, if you're at location Saturday between noon and 3, they are going to be giving away 5 $100 gift certificates or gift cards to Tennessee Legend Distillery. Be sure to let them know you're a cousin, all right? And do it quietly, because some people may not be in there for, you don't want them to get on the bandwagon. So, all right, here we go. Let's jump into this thing. We've got a couple, oh, shit, I'm so bad at this. I've got to get a, see, here's what I've got to do. Mike's got a system. I've got a system. Mine's terrible, but I got to jump in here because I appreciate the cousins coming through with us here. JR barely beat ACV. Cousin JR, the legend, the true legend. Appreciate you, cuz. Gifting a membership. This one is going to go to Midwest Picker. Midwest Picker, welcome to the family, courtesy of Cousin JR. And not to be outdone, ACV, them Texas Longhorns coming in here, gifting a membership. This one's going to Cameron Taylor. Cameron, welcome to the family, courtesy of ACV. All right. All right, shit. I'm behind. I'm already. My wife's going to get mad at me because I'm taking too long. Let's jump into this. What do we got? News. We got football. That's right. MIZ putting a beating on University of the Central Arkansas, the juggernauts of Arkansas there, 61-6. Fun fact here. I just thought this was interesting. The highest scoring game to ever happen with Mizzou was against Delaware State, 79-0. This performance surpassed the previous record of 69 points against Kansas. We got that next week. Obviously, I mean, I don't want to overreact, but I'm going to overreact. Offensive line, little rough, little leaky, as Coach says. But I saw progress. I was worried about Bo's health. I was worried about Sam's health. I was worried about anybody in the backfield. I didn't even think tight ends were going to be able to catch the football because they're going to have to help this offensive line. But I saw development, and again, it was against Central Arkansas, so we're not having a parade just yet. But I thought Bo looked good, right? I mean, Bo looked absolutely on fire. Coach talks about him here in the presser. His thoughts on Bo's success.
Eli, how would you describe sort of the significance of what you saw from Bo just in his first outing here with you guys in the game setting?
Yeah, I mean, I was pleased. You know, I knew he prepared well in fall camp. I tried to tell everybody that we had two quarterbacks that could win football games, you know, and I fully expected that to be the case. I thought he'd play, honestly, pretty well, and I thought Sam would play pretty well too. So, you know, I thought his ability to extend plays, I thought that one big-time run was pretty headsy there, and then his ability to pull the ball, you know, on some zone read stuff was nice. But, I mean, he threw the ball really well too, so it was good.
Oh, man. I thought he looked great, right? I mean, we saw the 49.8-yard pass that he made. That's something it felt like we couldn't get last year. And listen. I know. It's the team. It's who they're playing. That's what we're going to keep hearing. But I tell you what, there was some explosive plays in this offense, and I could see it against any team in the SEC right now. Defense? Again, similar to offense, and we're going to have this. We're going to overreact during week one. And the overreaction is this offensive line is not that good. Could be not that good. The running game looks good. Offense looks great. Bo looks phenomenal. He may be a Heisman winner. But sad news. Okay, because you got to remember, coming into this thing, it was a quarterback competition. So we take a quarterback that is fragile already, that barely can make a season. We put him in Wildcat. We run him straight up the gut. What happens? Sam is out for the year. Well, potentially. I don't want to speculate. In fact, Coach goes on to talk about, in his opening statement, some of the injuries. Would not speculate on that until they get the MRI.
You know, proud of our football team. Thought they fought well tonight. Thought they competed really hard. Really pleased with the way, you know, our three phases came together. Very disappointed and sad with the injury to Sam and the injury to Blake Craig. And those two things are really disappointing. And we'll see tomorrow what the extent of those injuries are.
I hate it. It feels like he can't get a break, right? And he works his ass off. You know, I understand that. And I just hate this that we really didn't get to see. I it was nice to have him in there, but a Wildcat. I'm scratching my mind. Again, it was a bad hit. In fact, a terrible hit. They should look into that. NFL, you'd probably get fined for that stupid hit. But it is what it is, man. We're going to move on. We don't have quarterback competition now. A lot of Mizzou fans called in. Appreciate you. We're going to have a call-in line this year. So Saturday, tonight we're going to have a watch-along. That was fun having the cousins in there. We're going to do it again with the Baylor-Auburn game, so we look forward to seeing everybody there. Saturday, if there's a game or something that goes your way or doesn't go your way, we'll post the link. You tell us what you think and why we should fire that coach. But a couple of calls came in. Wanted to give them a shout-out. This one goes Justin. Cousin Justin talks about M-I-Z.
In my bravado, I will say that there is no issues with this team and that we are going to win 12 games and that there is no problems. If you catch me being honest, linebackers did not flow early. Corners are not as great as they should be. We should be relatively fine once they figure out assignments, but that's fine. Biggest problem is, can Caden Green adjust to the tackle position? If he can, Mizzou is legitimately a playoff contender. If not, we'll see. Either way, fuck, it's going to be a more fun season than anyone else in this conference is going to have. M-I-Z.
That's where we're at, right? We're going to have some fun this year. Last one on M-I-Z, and then we're going to move on. We got other teams to talk about. This one comes from Arkansas Moose Knuckles. I appreciate the name. Reaching out, talking a little bit of M-I-Z as well.
Hey, buddy, what's going on? This is the Arkansas Moose Knuckle, and I thought I'd weigh in and share my thoughts on this Missouri game I'm watching with you boys. Now, I think Bo Prabula looks pretty dang good. His passes are lacking a little bit of gusto, if you ask me. A couple of floaters, a couple of ugly balls. But overall, his completion percentage is high, and they've been scoring on every freaking drive. The offensive line's not helping him out. I haven't seen them get much push against the UCA Bears this entire game. This is UCA. This isn't Oklahoma or Alabama. So I'm a little bit worried. A little bit worried, and I don't even pull for Mizzou, but I'm worried. Defensive line, it looked like it took them a while to wake up. But overall, the team looks good. The skill positions look good. Hardy looks good. And I think if they can keep from having Drink do weird stuff, like going for two on the opening drive of the season, then they might be all right. If they can keep Drink from doing weird stuff, like running Sam Horn out, QB2, and having him run up the gut on the first play in a Wildcat formation, I think they'll be all right. But we'll see. Is it Kansas next week? Let's see what they do. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, cuz. All right, let's get into some other news, right? I thought this was interesting. Brett McMurphy tweeted this the other day. Chipotle is giving every scholarship and walk-on student athlete at Florida, Georgia, and Ohio State a customized card granting them free Chipotle for the duration of the respective athletic seasons. Hopefully they don't skimp on the rice and guacamole. Well, apparently I still do have some eligibility. Come on now, get me in there. This one here is kind of a wild story. All right, we're going to go down. We're going to talk a little LSU. It was released earlier that safety, A.J. Halsey, transfer from Houston, will not be in the first half of the Clemson game due to an ejection he had against BYU in 2024. So think about this. Like eight months ago, we got in a fight at another school against another team. And the penalty is ejection at another school almost a year later in the season opener. LSU didn't know this. SEC didn't know this. This was news to me. I mean, Houston games did you watch, right? So this was stupid. But then, as you dig into this, you find out that Clemson ratted on him. Doing research, found out starting A.J. Halsey, who transferred from Houston, was ejected for fighting in the fourth quarter of the Houston Bowl game against BYU. I'm fairly certain he will have to sit in the first half against Clemson. This is why we hate Clemson, right? This is why these fucking rats, you know, snitches. Brings me up to today's word of the day.
Now it's time for word of the day.
You want to be smarter? Ingrate. Noun, an ungrateful person, a traitor, a snitch. That's exactly what Clemson is. And let's not act like this fucking guy did all the research. Sorry for the cussing. I'm sorry. Dabo and them, they do this. I can imagine somebody coming in there, Dabo, I got a little bit of news for you. Well, on these message boards, some Clemson fans stumbled across this. It led to this reporter. It led to going viral. It led to this kid missing the first half of the season opener, which is absolutely stupid. Absolutely stupid. Ugh. All right, that pisses me off. Let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about Oklahoma. Got a phone call from Oklahoma man. I asked for some hot takes, and by God, he gave me one.
Michael Hawkins Jr. will be responsible for more touchdowns than John Mateer in Saturday's game. Boomer Sooner.
My first reaction is, what is he talking about? This is going to be John Mateer's day, right? Well, fact of the matter is, John Mateer is going against an inferior opponent. And one of the things that I worry about with a lot of these quarterbacks, I mean, I was watching Bo get hammered last night. These mobile quarterbacks, these guys that like to run the football like Bo, they're going to get hit, even against teams like Illinois State. So I don't hate this. In fact, I feel like you have to have two serviceable quarterbacks because there's going to be a day, whether it be a drive, whether it be a quarter, whether it be two, three games, you never know. You're going to have a reliable backup. And one of the things I like about Oklahoma is they got that. Now, you're saying, wait, Hawkins lost the job last year. Well, of course he did. All them quarterbacks lost a job. That was a shit show, right? But I feel like having time to learn and grow, Hawkins can be a really, really good quarterback, and I don't hate it. And, in fact, I would love to see Hawkins get involved early in this game. Speaking of quarterbacks, there's like this little grouping, right? Everybody wants to talk about Lenore Sellers. Everybody wants to talk about DJ, Arch Manning, John Mateer. These guys are still in all the headlines. But there's a grouping of quarterbacks that have a high ceiling. Marcel Reed, Talen Green. You know, there's these guys that are just sitting there with potential, with the ability to be a great quarterback. But one maybe we're sleeping on the most is Austin Simmons. And Josh brought up an interesting point.
Hey, Cousin Shane. Just got a hot take for Ole Miss. This is going to start the Austin Simmons Heisman run this weekend. He's going to throw for 300 yards, three touchdowns, beat the heck out of Georgia State this weekend. Hottie toddy.
Yeah, I think he will. I think he will. I think, in fact, I've been so down on Ole Miss that I don't even like. I feel like we talked about him so much last year that we're not talking about him this year, which makes him extremely dangerous. I mean, since he's been at Ole Miss, name a quarterback that hasn't had success. Lane Kiffin finds it. And one of the things that stood out when I'm hearing Josh, and thank you for the call, Josh, I think about a conversation we had there at Media Days with Peter Burns. And, you know, I'll show you the clip here, and got me thinking, maybe we are sleeping on this Ole Miss quarterback.
Perceived favorites, but is there a quarterback out there that maybe people are not looking at it as a top five quarterback that could potentially get into those ranks.
So it's an interesting question, because when we talked about who we think are the quote unquote blue bloods of this conference right now, probably going to be Georgia, kind of going to be Texas. You probably think Alabama as well too. All of those have question marks at quarterback. Okay, I mean, we think Arch is going to be good. We don't know. It probably is going to be Ty Simpson over at Alabama. And even for Georgia, we saw a hint of Gunnar Stockton, but are we sold on him yet? No. And it's that other tier. It's DJ Lagway at Florida. We've seen. He looks awesome when he's healthy. Lenore Sellers, that secondary tier. Even Garrett Nussmeier coming back, that secondary tier of LSU trying to go back. So that's why I think the parity level is so interesting this year. All week long, we get a chance to talk to all the players, all the coaches, and the number one that so far at this point in this juncture of media days that I've just been wowed by was Austin Simmons over at Ole Miss. And 19 years old, reminds me exactly like when I would talk to Tua, just cool, calm, collected. And I'm like, this kid, he was homeschooled. See, like sometimes you get homeschooled kid, they're kind of awkward and they're like, they never had those human interactions. Like, dude, I have a 7-year-old and 5-year-old, and I was like going to go to Austin Simmons. Like, how should I raise my kids? Like, I'm bought into this guy. And I know, you know, when Lane in that Ole Miss Georgia game, and I think you guys remember it, Ole Miss trying to hold off Georgia, they're playing well, and all of a sudden Jackson Dart goes down. And I'm like, oh boy, here comes 18-year-old Austin Simmons. They're going to just hand the ball off. And I mean, here comes Georgia. They threw the ball 6 damn times, and it was 6 darts against Georgia's defense. And I'm like, okay. And I asked Austin about that this week. I go, well, I mean, did you think coach was going to just hand it off or whatever? And he goes, cool, calm, glad. No. Lane pulled me to the side, put me into the huddle, and he goes, we're going to run the playbook. You good? And he goes, yeah, we're good. I'm like, that's some serial killer stuff, dude. Like,
oh, man. Tim, I appreciate you, cuz. Wait till you come to Oxford. Maybe I should, right? Maybe I should if. Maybe if I mean, let's pull up Ole Miss here for a second. All right. There's a shot they go. I mean, there's a very easy shot they go 4-0, right? Then they're getting LSU. So let's say worst case scenario, the 4-1, maybe 5-0. I mean, they may be. There's a shot that they could be 6-0 going into that Georgia game. And we're sitting here saying, you know, last year was Ole Miss's year. That's not far-fetched, right? I mean, look at the remaining schedule. Georgia, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Florida. Those are the serviceable games. I mean, there's a real shot Ole Miss may be a college football playoff team. Would I get to Oxford? I'd like to do it. I'm not going to lie. I just don't know. Actually, I'll tell you what. If they are, let's see. Let's figure this thing out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. If they are 7, let's just say if they're in playoff bound that Florida game, and that's like a make or break game, I think I can get down there. I think I can convince the wife to let me go to Oxford. Hopefully she doesn't do too much research. Let's get on to this. I'm running out of time here. We got Ole Miss. We got big games. Big games coming up this weekend, and why you're here is because, you know, I'm smart, and I'm going to tell you the storylines. We got a lot of great games counting tonight, Auburn and Baylor, Texas, Ohio State. Those are the ones that are still in the storylines. But we've got State. We've got Kentucky and Toledo could be a really good game. Virginia Tech, South Carolina, LSU, Clemson. So I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in this, and I got to do it quickly. So, Cousins, I appreciate you. I'm not going to be able to get to the comments for a second, but let's go down here to Alabama. What would be the storyline from this game, right? I mean, there's a lot of possibilities. What if Kalen DeBoer plays this game close? What if Florida State wins and Mike Norvell's back? You know what I'm saying? There's all kinds of crazy things. We've got a lot of injuries with the Alabama Crimson Tide right now. But I'm telling you, what the storyline will be, because my score's already out and I'm already telling you that Florida State still sucks. That's right. That's what sucks about this football game. Alabama loses, it's talking about how Florida State is good. Alabama wins, it's talking about how Florida State sucks. Alabama wanted to get, it's almost like they're in a lose-lose situation. But the storyline, honestly, coming from this one, will not even be SEC related. It will be about Mike Norvell. It will be about them getting fired. Arkansas, A&M. Nobody's going to be talking about this game. I guess the storyline for locals will be that we're not that bad. Now, again, look who you're playing. And we do this. We overreact when it's a team that we just destroyed 50 to nothing, right? But I feel like there's going to be a little momentum picking up after this game, especially with Taylen Green, especially with this defense. Maybe they're not as bad as we thought. Going into Arkansas starting out 2-0, and they're going to be under the radar. And unless you're listening to that SEC podcast, you're probably not going to be hearing about the Razorbacks. But I think storylines, you'll probably miss them. But I feel like there's some dudes on this roster that we're not talking about, especially in that wide receiver room that we'll be talking about. Auburn, this is a big one, right? This one's one we're going to be streaming tonight. What is the storyline? The storyline, Mike, if you're not awake, is Hugh Freeze is back, baby. Hugh Freeze is back. They're going to win this game. Not only going to win this game, they are going to beat the brakes off Baylor. That's where I'm at with this football game. Now, it will not be with the passing. I don't think that's – it feels like classic Hugh Freeze is going to just run the football. This is going to be – Jackson will be serviceable. Jackson will do just enough. The wide receivers will get some action. I would imagine Coleman's going to have some spectacular catch here. But the storyline after this game is that Hugh Freeze is – Auburn is – back. That's where I want to be. This is a big game. It's a huge game. All eyes are going to be on it tonight. We can't have a Nebraska-Cincinnati situation here. We need to have a barn burner, and I feel like that's what we have. Storyline coming out of Florida is DJ's healthy? I mean, that's what's going to steal the headlines, because we saw DJ throw a football. We saw him hand off a football. We saw him run with the football. That will be the ultimate storyline. But deep down, I think the storyline is going to be about this defense. This is a defense people are sleeping on. This is a defense bringing back a lot of talent. The Sharks are scoring 0 points. It would not blow my mind if there's three scores from special teams and defense alone. That's how good I think this defense will be playing today. So that's what should be the storylines, but ultimately it'll be about DJ. Looks good in uniform. Kentucky, Toledo. What's the storyline on this one? Mark Stoops is still in trouble, right? He said the right things. We're motivated. We're doing the right stuff. This could be a tight football game. Now, I think Kentucky's going to win it, right? And I may be wrong. Shit, I'm wrong all the time. So Kentucky fans are like, you know what? Keep saying it, big boy, because we're going to go up there and we're going to kick Toledo's ass. That may happen. But truthfully, I feel like this is going to be a close matchup. We're not going to like Calzada's situation. We're going to already start harping to get the backup in. That's what I feel like is going to happen. That's going to be the storyline in Kentucky. Georgia, storyline. Who is Gunner? Gunner is going to get some love here. Now, it's going to be one of those flash-in-the-pan deals, because Kirby's not just going to let him play. He's going to let him play for a quarter and a half, and then he's going to get back to what Georgia and Mike Bobo want to do, and that's run the damn football. But I think the storyline here is Gunner. This is a quarterback that, again, kind of in that grouping. I probably should have put them in the grouping I was telling you about earlier. I feel like when we walk away from this one, with the wide receivers he has, with the tight ends he has, how can you not have a vertical presence, you know? How can you not throw the damn football? It's like the opposite of Sandra Bullock out here. Throw the damn football. I want to see it. Storyline, Gunner. Oklahoma. Storyline obviously will be Mateer and how great he played. But deep down inside, what I think is going to be the ultimate storyline, maybe moving forward, is that this defense did not miss a beat. All right. Oklahoma, as long as Venables is there, will always have an elite defense, right? But now you're going to be able to pair it with an offense, and that's going to make life easier on that side of the football, especially when playing with a short field situation. So, yeah, I think the ultimate storyline, because that's what we do, is we're going to clip John Mateer and look how wonderful his hair looks and shit like that. But it's going to be the running game for me. It's going to be the defense. It's going to be old school football. That's what Oklahoma is going to get back to. Mississippi State. This, I told Mike, and I'm telling you right now, this is going to be the most electric football game ever that's played this Saturday. I don't know what the total points is, but we may see 100 of them. This is going to be fun. This is going to be exciting. It's going to be like Maction, baby. And I think the storyline here is just Mississippi State still doesn't have a defense. But they are sure as hell fun to watch. Storyline, LSU. Obviously, the biggest storyline would be Dabo losing, right? That Brian Kelly finally won a season opener. That's going to be the headlines. But how they get there is Garrett Nussmeier. This is a guy that is going to kick off his campaign for Heisman. How do you win a Heisman? You got to have success on the football field. You got to have a successful football team. But you got to have a handful of games that you completely take over that we walk away saying, damn, he looked good, right? He had that Heisman moment. The Heisman moment kicks off August 30th in Death Valley with Garrett Nussmeier. Mark my words. Mike gives me a hard time about this ain't a playoff team. I can say that. I can make fun of him because he's not on here. It is a playoff team, and it is a Heisman quarterback potentially, and you're going to see that when they beat Clemson Tigers. South Carolina. A lot of people upset that I picked these guys. It's a new year, 2025. I'm due. I'm always right in 25. That's 24, 23, okay, a little sluggish, made some mistakes, got the word Grim Reaper tagged to me. But I have a feeling that this is a football game that is not going to be a football game. You watch that Central Arkansas, that's what I feel like this is going to be. South Carolina defense isn't as good as last year. You know, Lenore Sellers, yeah, he had a couple of great games, but he's not as good as people are saying. That's the shit Beamer's writing on his wall, right? Right next to nobody likes my wife's cookies. You know who likes his wife's cookies? This guy, right? South Carolina is going to kick ass. They're going to do it. I mean, what's nice about this one, it's a Sunday game. Everybody's going to get to watch this. This is perfect. This is teed up perfect for Lenora Sellers. We got a whole weekend full of football. So at the end of the day, the storyline will be about the Beamers and the Virginia Tech connections, but it's also a good one for Lenora Sellers to get his name back out there. Tennessee Vols, this is going to be, I mean, come on. People probably ain't going to want to talk about it because they turned it off after the first quarter because Tennessee's kicking too much ass. Give me a Tennessee big here. Storyline is we're going to be all right. We are going to be just fine with Aguilar. So that's going to be the storyline. Running out of time, so we're going to speed this last part up. Ole Miss, Georgia State didn't pull off an upset, but we talked about the quarterback, and I think that's going to be the thing. If you're looking for a lot of points scored, it's going to be in this football game. Why? Because people aren't talking about Ole Miss. Hell, it's almost September, and I'm just now starting to talk about them, right? I'm not giving Ole Miss the respect that Lane Kiffin thinks they deserve. How do they deserve it? They score a lot of points. I'm not saying Ole Miss scores 100, but I say they're going to be pretty damn close. They'll be closer to 100 than zero. A&M. We got a passer, right? That's I think what everybody thinks this one's going to be is, oh, we're going to show them. We got our new receiver, you know, Marcel Reed. He's going to come out here. He's going to do special things. No. Elko's going to keep it simple. He's going to run it down their throat. This is going they will have two 100-yard rushers in this football game, potentially three. This may look like the best rushing attack in the Southeastern Conference after this game. Vanderbilt, storyline, I mean, Pavi is back, but he still looks good. I really don't know what to say. I mean, to be honest, what are you going to get from this damn football game? Besides the fact that the stadium looks nice, that may be the storyline. We get to see what the new facilities looks like. But I feel like this is going to be a slow kind of game. I have no doubt in my mind Vanderbilt's going to win this thing, but it's going to be so ugly that it's going to be tough to find a storyline. How about that? And last but not least, Texas beats Ohio State. That's right. Arch Manning is the guy. That's the story, right? Heisman, Arch Manning, Texas, potential national champions. That's going to be the storyline. Why? Because they are going to whoop up on them Ohio State Buckeyes. So, hey, We made it. It's Friday. We're 30 minutes closer to kickoff. I appreciate all the cousins hanging out this morning. Don't forget, we got the watch party tonight. And let's see, did I miss any comments here? Yes, absolutely I did. Horns down, Dave. Appreciate you. Rocking a cousin. Let's see. That didn't come out right. Bryson Gates, welcome to the family, courtesy of Horns Down Dave. And all right, man, let's do it. Oh, here, I'm giving you guys a little heads up. All right, I'm about to drop a tweet here in a little bit. And I'm going to say, what is the score prediction? So I want the closest score prediction for the Auburn-Baylor game tonight. And you're going to pair that with how many passing yards Jackson will have. That would be kind of a tiebreaker. Closest one is going to receive a $100 gift card to our cousins here at Tennessee Legend Distillery. So, all right, I got to get out of here. Boss is mad at me. Love you guys. Enjoy your weekend. Be safe. And hopefully I'll see you tonight. Bye-bye.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.